RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
I'm reading from the Gisborne Herald, dated August 2nd. The headline, protest abuse claims, council staff say they were abused at Grey Street protest. And they tell us a Gisborne council staff member has reported an incident of abuse while driving past the Grey Street protest on Wednesday last week. It was the fifth such demonstration, with about 70 people gathering to protest the new Streets for People road layout design. The design is intended to make the road more cycle and pedestrian friendly, but many residents have said there was insufficient public consultation about it and it's unsafe. Gisborne District Council Chief Executive, I'm reading from the Gisborne Herald piece here, Chief Executive Nadine Thatcher-Swan posted on the council's Facebook page that a council car was stopped and protesters were yelling abuse and banging their protest signs on the vehicle. The comment section on the post has since been switched off, but many Grey Street protesters shared the post and claimed the accusation to be false. They say the protest was peaceful and many cars tooted in support, including police. We thought we naturally would like to find out more about that. So coming onto the program now is Patricia Aitkins, local business owner and protest organizer. Patricia, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Paul. Yeah, I'd like to put our side across.
Okay, well, this is your opportunity. Now, you claim the incident did not occur, and can you back that up with anything?
Yeah, we've got some camera footage. We've got some views from a business that had a camera up. Plus, we actually had a person there that was protesting with us who was wearing a body cam. And we've got camera footage. So for a few angles, we can see that nothing of the sort happened.
So you were kind of prepared for this in a way?
No, not really. No, it's just, you know, we had lots of people live feeding it at the time as well. So it was going, you know, we had different, this is our fifth protest and we've had lots of support with it. And we've had people like putting it up on Facebook and doing live feeds. So it was just sort of something that just happened, really. We certainly didn't anticipate we would need it for this sort of accusation, I suppose.
There's also Councillor Andy Cranston, who reported being sworn at by a member of the public on Grey Street last month. What do you say to that?
Oh, I can't speak for the public. But
okay. Had you heard about that, though?
I read it in the paper also. That was all I'd heard about it, yes.
Okay, so there's some interesting language that I just mentioned in that piece from the Gisborne Herald, and it comes up a bit, and that is cycle and pedestrian friendly, number one. What is it about this, because we hear that in other areas, right? What is it about this layout and road design that sort of got you not so happy, let's say?
Well, Grey Street was a beautiful wide street that gave Gisborne people access from the city to the beach and the beach to the city, unimpeded. It was nice and straight. But what we've got now is a large amount of that space being taken up by a cycleway, which in itself isn't really the problem. But what they've done is they put concrete planters in the middle. They have painted a whole lot of blue areas on the road, which have confused some drivers.
So what are the blue areas for, Patricia?
Street art, I believe. Mm. And so they've actually drawn a hopscotch in one of them. So for kids to, I guess, play on the road. They've put a chicane in the middle of the road. And I know that I've got an elderly friend who lives nearby, and she said she can't drive on the road when it's wet in the morning because the glare means that she can't see any of the kind of the changes in the layout. And with that, she said she finds it really unsafe. So that's just one of the comments that we've had. But so many people have just commented on how just how unusual the layout is with it's just got chicanes, it's got speed humps. But I noticed that they aren't calling them speed humps. They're calling them traffic calming measures.
Oh, here we go again, traffic calming. Yeah, we hear that one all the time too.
And the interesting thing about the traffic calming measures is I've pulled up the plans and What was interesting about that is all grade changes on carriageway ramps to be as sharp as practicable to ensure appropriate traffic calming.
Which means to slow you down to virtually 0 kilometres an hour every time you hit one, right?
Right, yeah. This road was used by emergency services, who are now obviously getting slowed down considerably because of these traffic calming measures.
Yeah, so you've broken your neck. You're in the back of the ambulance. Oh, crikey.
And it might have happened at the new skate park. It's just, and the consultation wasn't there, you know. It's affected a lot of businesses, as you know. We've just gone through, you know, the country went through COVID and we were hit quite hard in Gisborne, as everyone was. We've had Cyclone Gabrielle and many storms even since then. And this Gisborne area is still reeling from some of those things. And it just seems like such a waste of priorities when we've got other things that could have done with the sort of money that's been spent on this area.
For the traffic calming, were there people like hooning up and down the street, like, it, you know, barreling along at unsafe speeds? Has there been a problem that's been identified regarding that, you know, would be a legitimate case for calming the traffic, in your knowledge?
Not that I'm aware of, no. No. You know, I mean, there's always the odd idiot out there, but not to the extent that I would have thought they needed to do this to a perfectly good road.
What about the level of use of the area by cyclists? Are you seeing a huge amount of cyclists that, again, you could use it as an argument for putting the cycleway in?
No, I certainly haven't seen an increased use in cyclists using that cycleway. In fact, I've noticed they use the road.
That's what we always used to do, right? We always used to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you talked about consultation, and I see that Thatcher Swan, who we mentioned at the start, she's quoted as saying, "We acknowledge that some in the community are unhappy with the changes on Grey Street. We hear you and your concerns, and we're taking all feedback on board." Do you believe that?
No, I don't. I know that there have been people that have approached the council, even councillors, who have brought it up in meetings, and they've actually been sort of shut down so that their voices aren't heard or our voices aren't heard. We've got a petition. Dale Coppin started a petition that's raised over 1,400 signatures, and she's, you know, we don't hear any feedback from that. In fact, I believe that she was told that we'd kind of get used to it in 6 weeks or so. She's actually just started a second petition just this weekend, just sort of saying that we still don't like it. We still don't like what they've done, just to reinforce, you know, the city's feeling, really.
Thatcher Swan also told Local Democracy Reporting, which is, I think, the route via which it got to the Gisborne Herald, that she firmly rejected any attempts to discredit her character. Have you seen any real discrediting of her character? And do you think she's a bit thin-skinned?
Well, I have seen many, many people, including myself, who I put up on the Facebook post that I don't believe that this happened. There was definitely no banging of signs on people's cars. Yeah. And so I think perhaps, you know, that might have got to her a little bit.
She says, "Where emotions are high, it's important to focus on constructive dialogue." Has there been constructive dialogue from her end?
We haven't had any dialogue at all. No.
Okay. And she adds to that, rather than spreading, here's another one of these words we hear all the time, misinformation and engaging in personal attacks. Can you identify anything that you would consider misinformation in what you've been saying?
Just that, you know, we've got several witnesses. Well, we had 60 to 80, or we probably had nearly 70-something people there on Wednesday. I've approached many of them and spoken to them and just said, "What did you see? Did you see anything? Was there anything that we need to, you know, pull a lid on?" And there was nothing. It was a happy, peaceful, feel-good protest, I guess you'd call it, just raising awareness, just letting Gisborne people know that, you know, there is a team of people out there that sort of, you know, don't necessarily approve with what's happening.
What do you think she's referring to when she says that there's been spreading of misinformation. What's the misinformation?
I guess that some people have told her that it didn't happen. So, I don't want to quote anybody else, but, some of the Facebook posts, people have sort of said it didn't happen and are calling her out for it.
I think also in the paper it mentions, Patricia, that the CEO, Nadine Thatcher-Swan, has had communications with the police about this. Are you aware of that?
Just from what I read in the paper, yes.
It sounds like the gate's open, the horse has bolted, though. Most of the work has been done. That's the impression I got from what you said earlier. Is that correct?
I believe so. There was another article in the newspaper just a couple of days ago saying that it's been held up at the moment because they want the AI cameras to go in.
What?
Yeah, we're getting AI cameras in there. So.
Oh, crikey.
So that's another point of contention as well.
Has anyone said what they will be used for? I know what AI is, but what's the purpose of the use, do you think?
I have no idea. I did see that Simeon Brown has just put an article out, I think it was today, saying that he wasn't happy with number plate recognition cameras being used. So I presume that they will be number plate cameras, perhaps.
Did anyone ask if they could do that?
I don't believe that there's been public consultation on that, but I think that's where the holdup is, that it's going through councillors at the moment to try and get approval or getting it signed off through council, just from what I read in the paper.
How much confidence do you and your group have in the local councillors to do, I guess, what you would consider the right thing?
I would like to believe that they could admit that they've made a mistake. Because I think that's what it is. I think that what they've done is bitten off a bit more than they can chew, just with the local community not being happy with this at all.
And let's be clear, Nadine Thatcher-Swan is an unelected employee official of council, right?
Yes, she's the CEO, yes.
Yeah. She really shouldn't have any say in this, should she?
I'm not really sure how that works, but I would have, yeah, it's an interesting, yeah, setup, really. I think that maybe she's, there was a meeting the other day that was recorded from the GDC and it was online for everyone to view. And I noticed that when anything was brought up about Grey Street, our mayor remained very quiet.
Who's the mayor again?
Rahet Stoltz.
Why would the mayor remain quiet about that, do you think?
Well, it's only my opinion, but I'm wondering if the CEO has said that she will deal with it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, but she's not elected.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not trying to catch you out or anything. It just seems to me that, and probably to many of our listeners, that people that they don't vote for really shouldn't have too much of a say in the end and just implement what they're told to implement.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's leave it on that. That note, I want to thank Patricia Akins, local business owner and organizer of the Grey Street protest. Well, keep an eye on this, Patricia. Keep us updated, if you don't mind. Fascinated to see where this goes, because as you probably know, this is part of a bigger picture, right?
100%, yes, sure.
Okay. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me, Paul. Thank you.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now, they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.